and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. It is written, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. It is written, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. It is written, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The cross is such a simple thing, yet of it men may talk and sing. It is a ladder to the skies, on which a mounting soul may rise. It is a signboard on the road to cheer man with his heavy load. It is a key that fits the door to joyousness forevermore. It signals to the human race that God in mercy offers grace. To some it is a stumbling block that causes men to curse and mock. To others, who their sins bemoan, it can become a stepping stone. To voyagers, its dirty form becomes an anchor in the storm. A hammer, it has won renown, a battering old oppressions down. It is a tree upon a hill, whose fruit the hungry heart can fill. It is a window for the soul. 'Tis medicine to make one whole. Ladies and gentlemen, from Genesis chapter 2, the cross and the tree. In the second chapter of Genesis, God said that he rested from all his work of creation. God created everything. Mankind has never created anything and never will. We cannot make something out of nothing. Only God can make something out of nothing. Of course, there is one exception to this rule. People who gossip can always make something out of nothing. God rested on the seventh day, not because he was tired, but because he was finished with his creative work. There is no new matter in this world. It is a natural law that material things do not evolve into something better. They turn into something worse. We start to grow old from the moment we are born. Adam was made a perfect man. He did not evolve from something worse to something better. God said that everything he made was good. Then Adam fell from perfection. He did not go from imperfection to perfection, but from perfection to imperfection. According to this natural law, if the baboon could hang around for several million years, he would not evolve into a man, he would devolve into a tadpole. Things evolve from better to worse, not from worse to better. If I left my old Buick out in the elements long enough, according to evolution, it should in time evolve into a Cadillac. If it changed at all, it would not evolve. It would devolve into a Volkswagen. Things don't evolve into better, they devolve into worse. I went into a restaurant for supper one time and asked the server if she had any fish legs on the menu. She said they did not serve fish legs. The reason I asked for fish legs was, I thought maybe there is something to evolution. If we all lived at one time in the sea, before we crawled up out of the water and climbed a tree, surely there must be some fish today in the transitional state who still have legs. So if there were any fish legs, I wanted to order a dozen fried catfish legs. So far, the missing link has not been found. They try hard to find one, and the best thing they can do always turns out to be a hoax. Verse 7 of this second chapter of Genesis tells us how God made man. He made him free. He made him from the dust of the earth. He did not make him from gold dust or from powder of pearl, but dust of the earth, just ordinary dirt. A song says, God made us from dirt, but he does not treat us like dirt. After he made us from dirt, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Our body is made from the earth, and our soul comes from heaven. When you consider the origin of the body and the origin of the soul, which one should receive the most attention? Psalms 139 enlarges on the creation of man. David says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Think of the wonder of the creation of man. It was discovered not too long ago that each one of us is born with 100,000 genes. Every one of your genes is a designer gene, and the designer is God. You are wonderfully made. David said that the Lord could see our substance when as yet we were imperfect. All of our members were fashioned when we were as yet had none of them. According to Psalms 139, abortion is murder of the most heartless kind. God made Adam from the dust of the earth. Suppose that it did take God several million years to make Adam. Well, what about Eve? If Adam evolved after all those millions of years and then God put him to sleep, how many millions of years did God have to stand there with a bone in his hand trying to make up his mind whether to make a blonde, a brunette, or a redhead? God made Eve from a rib taken from Adam's side. Some like to say that the Lord did not make Eve out of Adam's head because he did not want Eve to think she was above Adam. This is not the way of it at all. The real reason that God did not make Eve from a part of Adam's skull is because God did not want to give Adam an excuse for calling Eve a bonehead. Verse 5 tells us that every herb and every plant grew, and there was not a man to till the ground. Think of that. Before God made Adam, the plants and the herbs grew, and there was nobody around to smell the roses. It is a sobering thought that after you have left this world and go into eternity, the roses will still bloom, the sun will still shine, the fruit will still get ripe, life will still go on without you. No one is indispensable, so lighten up. Verse 21 and 22 tells us of the creation of Eve. God put Adam into a deep sleep. He took a rib and made the woman and brought her to the man. The real reason for putting Adam to sleep was because this operation would be a type of Christ. As Adam fell asleep, even so did Jesus fall asleep in that sleep we call death. Adam's side was opened, even as the side of Jesus was opened on the cross, and blood and water came out. Adam was awakened from his sleep, and his bride was given to him. After the resurrection of Jesus, the church, which is the bride of Christ, began on the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 people heard the gospel and responded to the terms of pardon. Verse 15 tells us that God took the man and put him into the garden to dress it and to keep it. Even in a perfect place like the Garden of Eden, there was work to do. I heard one time one man say, in heaven, he would go bowling one day and play golf the next. I overheard one woman one time in a restaurant say that heaven must be a very boring place to be, since all there was to do would be to sit on a cloud all the time and listen to organ music. In the last chapter of Revelation, John says that we will serve him. There will be plenty to do when we get to heaven. Not only did God say that there were that they were to dress the garden, he said to keep it. He did not give them permission to destroy it. He said, keep it, take care of it, don't cut down all the trees. The motto of one conservation effort is, save the lobsters. I am more concerned about saving souls from hell than lobsters from hot water. God said, keep it, take care of it. The last verse in Genesis chapter 2 tells us, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. One reason that they were not ashamed was because of the bonds of holy matrimony that had sanctified their nakedness. They were not ashamed because they had not sinned. They had the innocence of small children. But sin changed all of that. When sin came, their eyes were open, and they knew they were naked and sought covering. Now they were ashamed to stand before God. Ashamed to stand before angels, ashamed to stand before the other humans that were yet to come. Some now are so depraved that they feel no shame in appearing almost naked, if not altogether naked. They are proud to show as much of all of their nakedness as they can. God provided covering for their physical nakedness in the garden with the skins of animals, and he has also provided covering for our spiritual nakedness. Jesus took the shame of our nakedness by dying on the cross naked so that we might appear before God unashamed. The person who is not a Christian may not feel any shame about their nakedness now, either physical or spiritual. But on that day when they stand before the Son of God, the holy angels, the Almighty Father, the guilt and the shame of their nakedness will be overwhelming. Daniel says it for us when he says, at the resurrection, many will rise to be in everlasting shame and contempt. And then there are those verses in Genesis chapter 2 that tell us about the trees in the midst of the garden. The tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. Hear these words regarding the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden. The tree of life is in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Of the tree of the garden that thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. These words remind of another garden and another tree in the New Testament. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. God also planted a tree in that garden. That tree was the cross. It is not by accident that Peter referred to that cross as a tree. His accusation in Acts chapter 5 is in these words, "Whom also ye slew, hanging him on a tree." There is a contrast in the cross in the garden where he was crucified and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God told Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree which is in the Garden of Eden, and the devil told Eve to eat of it. God tells us to eat of the tree in the garden where he was crucified. He said, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And the devil tells us not to eat of it. Notice also the curse regarding both trees. The Lord told Adam and Eve, "In the day ye eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, ye shall surely die." They ate of it, and not only received the death sentence, but the ground was cursed because of the transgression. "Thorns and thistles shall spring up in the sweat of thy face, shalt thou eat bread all the days of thy life." And to the woman, God promised, "In pain shalt thou bring forth children. The devil said, Ye shall not surely die. Ladies and gentlemen, every cemetery you pass tells you the devil is a liar. There is a curse also connected to the tree in the garden where he was crucified. Paul reminds us, Cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. Jesus became a curse for us. But not only that, we need to listen to the Great Commission. In the Gospel according to Mark, he said, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. There's the curse. Remember, too, that Paul tells us, If any man or angel preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be anathema. That means accursed. He not only said it once, he said it twice. We need to note also the similarity of the tree in the garden where he was crucified with the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. After Adam sinned, God sent cherubims with a flaming sword to guard the tree of life, lest they eat of it and live forever. Regarding the tree of life in the garden where he was crucified, Jesus said, And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. The cross is our tree of life, because those who respond to the terms Peter gave were given the promise of forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, also the hope of eternal life. God is a God of love, and he is a God of grace. But he is also a God who cannot lie. He means exactly what he says. People make a mistake in trying to trade on the grace and the love of God. God means what he says when he says it, whether it be in regards to the eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or whether it be regarding the tree in the garden where he was crucified. Note also what the devil told Eve would happen if she ate of the tree in the Garden of Eden. He told her if she ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, her eyes would be opened. You shall know good and evil. You shall be as gods. The temptation to be wise is one of the devil still uses. He makes people feel dumb if they say they believe in God. Do you feel a little silly sometimes to admit you don't believe in evolution? The devil likes to make you feel dumb, so wise up. Even when Eve reminded the devil that she could eat of the cherry tree, the pear tree, the orange tree, the coconut tree, the pineapple tree, and all the others, she still had to have the devil's approval to eat of that one tree that was forbidden. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. God had something also to say about wisdom. In 1 Corinthians, Paul said, Seeing the Jews ask for signs and the Greeks seek for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Then there is that statement, The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. I was in a church service recently, and just before I preached, they called on a man to pray. His prayer was, O Lord, thank you tonight that we have come here to hear what this fool has to say. Ladies and gentlemen, no matter how many smarts you may have, if you don't know Christ, if you don't have a working knowledge of his word, you are as dumb as a turkey. Then again, think of the thief in both gardens. There was a prominent thief regarding both trees. The tree, the thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The Lord told him, Verily I say unto you, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. The thief lived a thief and died a thief. In the closing hours of his life, he reached out and stole heaven. There was a thief also in the Garden of Eden. The thief in the Garden of Eden was Adam. He took something that did not belong to him when he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Many misguided folk today appeal to the thief on the cross in the garden where he was crucified for their plan of salvation. I think of the world-famous evangelist one time who sneeringly remarked that the thief on the cross did not even have time to be baptized. Of course he didn't. Jesus had not yet sent the Comforter with the message of salvation for us on the day of Pentecost. The church had not yet started. It was not until then that it could be said that the Lord added to the church day by day those that were saved. The thief on the cross gained paradise, and the thief in the Garden of Eden lost paradise. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why I can see the cross in the Garden of Eden. Now this concluding statement. Perhaps it may seem strange to us when we consider the reason Adam was cast out of the garden with Eve. How come they lost paradise? What sin did they commit? Let's see if we can tell for what reason. Certainly it was not because of the fact that he was hooked on drugs, nor was it because God gave them up to vile passions. Why was he cast out of the garden? Was it because they were drunkards? Was it because they were murderers? It does not appear that they even set a forest fire by forgetting to stamp out a cigarette butt. They were not guilty of publishing a porno magazine, or for that matter, they were not guilty of any of the modern-day sins. What was this terrible sin that Adam and Eve committed? The sin of Adam and Eve was they refused to obey a simple, direct, easy-to-understand, hard-to-misunderstand command that would honor God's authority. In the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to be a Philadelphia lawyer to figure out what God said. Anyone with two brain cells to rub against the other could easily comprehend what God told them about that tree. It seems that God puts a high premium on the matter of obedience. They might have asked the Lord, "Lord, we have heard that you save by grace. Where is your grace in turning us out of the garden and letting us die?" Evidently, from this event, we learn that disobedience may cancel out grace. Disobedience may cancel out faith. Disobedience may cancel out the blood of Christ. Disobedience may cancel out hope. Disobedience may cancel out salvation. Disobedience may cancel out heaven. Disobedience may cancel out everything except hellfire. Men and brethren, what shall we do? One preacher suggests that you might advise someone looking for salvation with these words. If someone wants to be saved, tell them to pray this simple prayer. Father, I believe your Son Jesus died for my sins. I am sorry for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. I want to receive your Son as my Savior, and I want to become a member of your church. In Jesus' name, amen. That is the modern-day plan of salvation. It sounds good to the ear, but it's not what the Bible says. It leaves out obedience in something that Peter included the day the church began. Listen carefully and see if you can understand this simple, direct, easy-to-understand statement from the Word of God. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. God planted a tree in the garden, and the tree God planted was the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.